This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, Sharp Money, VSiN, the sports betting network. We welcome you back. Hour two. Our buddy Josh Applebaum is going to join us. Of course, longtime VSiN betting analyst and host. The podcast, All Systems Go podcast, wherever you can download your podcast, make sure you get it. We got football season coming up, so go subscribe to All Systems Go. You can find Josh on Twitter at Josh_insights. Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher as we welcome you back. And I just, you know, Josh and his wife Elise are two of the best people you're ever going to meet. And I've got confirmation as to why. In my hand right here is a thank you note from their wedding, which I was unable to attend, and I have yet to read the message. So let me go ahead and take a look. My guess is, Josh, that is a beautiful picture.
Yeah, you like
the
photo
two
right
of
there?
You on the front. Maybe we could zoom in there on YouTube TV if we get a chance there, Lair Bear. That is, I mean, I can't tell if that's Ben Affleck and J-Lo. Maybe not a good comp as they're going the wrong way with their marriage. However, look at this. Handwritten. Now, that was written by Josh. Because, yep. And here's how I know this is written by Josh. The PS, the postscript on this thank you card, is steam. Look at that beautiful couple right there. My goodness, Josh. Thank you for that, Josh. And as we revealed last week, I totally forgot I sent you a present. So good job by me.
Patrick, you're such a winning bettor. You just throw me like hundreds for wedding gifts. Don't you lose track of them? That's what kind of high roller you are, man. But I appreciate you. I'm glad you got the thank you letter.
Yeah, that's a hell of a picture. Hey, Josh, you did good. You know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying.
Oh, look at this. Let's go ahead and throw up a new graphic. Ooh. We've got for Josh Applebaum.
Wow.
That is a tremendous job. Elise would be proud of that with the bachelor theme. And as I always like to say, Josh is married to the market. And that is an unbelievable. That's my favorite graphic that's ever been put up at VSiN. What do you think, Josh?
Look at you guys doing all the work, getting ready for football. I got my live odds page, my bet splits. I got everything I need there, Patrick, to corner the market and make some bets. So shout out to the graphics crew. That just made my day.
Married to the market, Josh Applebaum. Now, we've got your Patriots coming up tonight. They're laying 3. We can get to preseason game number 2 hosting the Eagles, but let's start here. Judon traded to the Falcons. Not great. If you're a Patriots fan, but an overview, 4.5 in the market on the season win total.
Yeah, so this is going to be a very Patriots heavy segment here, Patrick. I'm going to play them on the first half money line tonight. I'll give you that cap here in a second, but let's look at their season outlook here. If you're like me and you're in New England, sky is falling. I mean, people are so upset with this team. The fact that Belichick is gone and they really haven't done anything in post Tom Brady era. It's going on 5 years. And really, they have the lowest win total in the NFL. So you see that they traded Matthew Judon for a 3rd-round pick. Christian Barmore, their top defensive player, is out with blood clots for a while. And also, you're looking at the market saying this could be the worst team in the NFL this season. Now, you guys know me. I look at the markets and what the money is telling me. I got a great bet split here, a combination from our buddy John Ewing at BetMGM. Came into my inbox this morning. And basically what it's telling us is there's a ton of pro versus Joe action on New England to go under 4.5 wins this season. Now, the win total opened at 5.5, Patrick. That 5.5 is way long gone at this point. It's all the way down to 4.5. So on the one hand, we can say, hey, a ton of smart money, hit that under 5.5, even under 5. Now that it's at 4.5, you can look at it one of two ways. You can say, hey, I'll take the under and be with the sharp side, or maybe I missed the number. Like, what if they land on 5 wins and you lose an under 4.5? But I'm going to walk the tightrope here. I'm going to still take that under 4.5. You can get a little bit of plus money. Some books are under 4.5, like as high as plus 120, plus 115. So you can get some plus money on this one. But the bet splits jumped out to me. Right now, Patrick, at BetMGM, the under on the Patriots 4.5 win total, it's only getting 38% of bets, but 75% of money. Anytime I see a bet split that stark, where only a third of tickets are on the under, but 3 out of 4 dollars are on the under, that tells me that even though the total has fallen a bit here from the opener, wise guys still like this team to go way under. Rookie coach Patrick with Jerod Mayo, great player, good guy, sounds like a player's coach, but he's not an offensive-minded guy. I like to bet against rookie head coaches. Adam Van Pelt, the offensive coordinator, again, kicked around in the league, calling plays for the first time. What you're hearing, though, is the offensive line is in shambles. And if you don't have an offensive line, if you can't block, I don't even want to see Drake May. It's probably going to be Brissett, Zappe, maybe Milton. But let me ask you guys this. Can you name me either of the two starting tackles on the New England Patriots? And if you can,
that's
I'm
a negative,
impressed.
Josh. Maybe the donk that Belichick drafted from like that high school team. Is he one of them?
So it sounds like right now it could be Vidarian Lowe. Never heard of him. Chukwuma Okorafor, cool. A guy they gave, I think, $3 million in free agency to. They drafted Caden Wallace, and maybe they're going to move Michael Owenu over. But what you're hearing, and it ties into my bet here for tonight, there's been joint practices with the Eagles, and the Patriots are just getting absolutely destroyed. They can't block anybody. They have nothing going on offense. I think that move, trading away Judon, also tells you their outlook for the season. It seems to me they're quiet tanking at this point, looking for a high pick. Again, they had a lot of money, and they really didn't sign anyone. They only signed their own players. They tried to get Ayuk. They tried to get Calvin Ridley. None of that worked. I think it's going to be a very long year for the Patriots. I'm going to watch them and root against them and root that they lose a lot, even though I'm a Patriots fan. I really like that data-driven under 4.5 wins.
Okay, just quickly, Albert Breer just tweeted this, and Dustin, this makes no sense. He said, after playing just one series last week, Patriots quarterback Drake May is set to see a lot more action tonight. The plan, I'm told, this is Breer, is to have Jacoby Brissett play the first quarter. Oh, okay. Jacoby Brissett, makes sense. Play the first quarter. May to play the second quarter into the third. Joe Milton to go in the third and play into the fourth. And Bailey Zappe finish. So again, Josh, just a big-time quarterback advantage as far as the rotation tonight for your Patriots.
Yeah, well, I think this ties into my bet here for tonight, Patrick. And if you guys remember last week when I talked with you guys, we talked about an information-based bet on the Giants who came through in the first half. I actually really like New England to win this first half here for tonight. So let's start with the line movement, and then we'll kind of get into the nitty-gritty and the quarterbacks and the game script here. If you look at the line here for tonight, Patrick, really sharp dog to fave line move in favor of the Patriots. We opened this game early. Philly -2.5. It's now flipped all the way to Patriots -3. It was Patriots -2.5 last night. So it's gone even further toward New England throughout the day. And a really good bet split on the Patriots. Currently only 45% of bets, but nearly 65% of dollars are on New England. And really, to me, you're looking at a first half play in particular, because what we've seen thus far in week one of the NFL preseason is that dogs have barked pretty loud. They're 11-6 against the spread, 65%. So dogs are covering 2/3 of the time. So if you want to buy low and tell me you like Philly +3, I'm not going to argue with you. That's been cashing. But here's the thing, Patrick. The favorites on the first half money line, that's been a really good angle historically. And this year, they're 9-4-4 on the first half money line, 69%, 11% ROI. So you see this a lot in preseason where, you know, you're favored for the full game and you race out to a nice lead at halftime, but then second half things get crazy. You got a lot of backups in variants, big comebacks take place. So this is really my angle when it comes to preseason betting. The data is telling me we got dog to fave move toward the Patriots, good bet split, but I don't want to hold a full game ticket on them knowing that Zappe could throw a pick or Milton could do something terrible in the second half. I'm going to bank on the Patriots winning this first half. I'm playing them on the money line at -160.
Love it. Great breakdown, Josh. Also on the season win total. I mean, it's fair to say, married to the market there, our guy Josh Applebaum joining us. Fair to say the vibes aren't high in New England. I mean, there is a grace period here. Mayo, former great player, very good player. Now the coach. I'm just, you know, the Judon situation was interesting. He's 32 years old. You're not going to pay him with a team that's rebuilding. But there did seem to be some issues with Judon and Mayo. Overall, not a lot of expectations. I don't see how they get to 5 wins.
Yeah, they have a really tough schedule here, Patrick. I think they're a dog in, I want to say, like 95% of their games this season. A couple games, they're close to like a 2-point dog, so it's kind of closer to a pick 'em. But I think, to me, it all lands on Robert Kraft. Now, Kraft had, you know, the greatest run in the history of sports when it comes to the Brady-Belichick era. But post-Brady and post-Belichick, you know, what's the plan here? You know, you really haven't done anything in terms of being proactive. More of it is reactionary. There's top three quarterbacks. Take the third one, Drake May. You know, sign your own guys. Don't make any trades. Don't make any moves to bring in talent. Mayo's a good guy. We like him in New England because he was a player and he won one of the championships. But what experience does he have coaching a full team? You have an offensive coordinator who's never really called plays before. And also when it comes to Robert Kraft, there's really a question about spending money. And I know they spent a lot of money this offseason, but if you look at their cash spending, it's one of the lowest in the NFL. So if you're not paying for good players If you're not making big moves in the draft, you're also hearing, Patrick, that Drake May, I'm actually excited to sweat this game tonight and see what May can do. But what you're hearing a lot in these joint practices is that he's really not up to speed. He's not ready. He needs more time to get under center and call plays. And he hasn't really been in a pro style offense before. So it seems to me, you know, if this was the NBA, you know, Adam Silver would probably fine a team for tanking. NFL, you don't want to tank and say it out loud, but this sounds to me with that Judon move that they're playing for the future. It's going to be a couple bad years here before New England turns it around. Again, I'll be watching them every week and I'll be hoping they lose. Maybe they cover as a dog, Patrick, but under 4.5 wins, I got to play that number.
Yeah, it's a great breakdown, Josh. And Dustin, Josh, look, when you're talking about Robert Kraft, first off, you got to give him a hand, and he can tug and pull all he wants at that roster. But you can't really change the fact that he doesn't have a ton of talent. So
no, that doesn't lead to a happy ending for the Patriots in 2024.
See, now mine were clever. Yours just was.
Room. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, mine was clever, and then Dustin just went to the easy joke. But again, I'm he's the funny one. VSiN betting analyst Josh, it's great to see you. Can we throw up the graphic on the way out? It's my favorite. With Josh as the bachelor, married to the market. All Systems Go is the podcast, and you can find our good buddy Josh Applebaum at Josh_insights. By the way, if you're just getting into betting, or you're a bettor in particular, he's got a book. You can find it on Amazon, The Everything Guide to Sports Betting. Send my best to Elise, and thank you very much for the card, Josh. I appreciate it.
I love you guys. Have a great night.
Love you too, buddy. Dustin, you should be ashamed of yourself. When we return, we've got a quarterback battle in Vegas. That's next. Okay, it is VSiN 3.0, and with that, exciting times here at VSiN. Episode 1 of Circa Survivor, the quest for $9.2 million, will make its debut coming up this Monday night on VSiN. The 5-part docuseries will take you inside the high-stakes world of the annual Circa Survivor contest. Follow the contestants as they make all-or-nothing picks over the 2023 NFL season and go behind the scenes of the world's largest legal betting contest. Several VSiN hosts make appearances along the way to offer their advice. Watch Circa Survivor, the quest for $9.2 million on Monday at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific on VSiN.com and YouTube TV, as well as a live broadcast on X. Look at VSiN doing the damn thing. A little reality TV. Never hurt anybody as we welcome you back here.
Might have.
I wouldn't. We welcome you back. Dustin has no clue what he's talking about. He begged to be in that show, and I guarantee they don't put him in. Dustin Sweetelson, live from the D, downtown Las Vegas. He came. He said, I'd do it for free.
I did.
I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. He did. Let's see if he makes the cutting room floor.
No.
Or they actually show him.
There were two documentaries going at once. I'm in the one that didn't get greenlit.
Yeah. No, he called me excited. He's gonna. He called me excited. He's going to be on TV, and I told him, no, you're not. But it's cool. One day. Dustin Sweetelson, of course, just doing the damn thing. Now, a couple things. One, I would say this because we're going to talk about the Las Vegas Raiders. And Dustin, as far as the market's concerned, to take the first snap week one, there's really only one battle that matters, and it's in Las Vegas. And I have opinions. Before we get to that, I heard from my good friend Adam Graham. Adam Graham is the movie, music, entertainment reporter for the Detroit News in Detroit. He's one of the greats, one of my great friends, just somebody I love dearly. But he happened to be driving around on Monday when we started the program, and we broke out our year-long $1,000 bet on I take the Commanders, you took the Carolina Panthers, and Samich took the Vegas Raiders. And so remember, it had to be a team 6.5 wins or less in the market because I got clowned on for thinking the Commanders are going to be very good this year. Now, again, is it great that essentially wide receiver 2 for them right now is Martavis Bryant, who hasn't played in the league since 2018? No. Do I like to see that? No, I don't. However, I do believe in Jaden Daniels and the vibes that are happening right now with the Commanders. You went with the Carolina Panthers. And Samich went with Vegas. Now, I bring that up because what happened, Dustin?
The Giants with the bases loaded bunted the ball. Freed flipped it to the catcher, but the catcher bobbled it. I don't know why you're doing a squeeze with the bases loaded, but they did, and we get a run.
Squeeze play, jackpot. Now, this is dangerous. I'll get back to our little Vegas conversation here. This is dangerous because Samich got a plus 135 price on the first five. So if the Giants do win that, he's going to lecture us after the program or during the program. So dangerous, but we just all want to win.
I was taught in therapy, don't worry about what other people do. Only worry about what I do. Now, she did say there is a hint of narcissism in the way I act. So that is also a path that I may not want to go down as well. So.
Yeah, she pegged you about 10 minutes into that first session.
No, it was a different person that did that
so
to me.
Quickly back to our little contest. So Adam Graham, who's not the biggest sports fan in the world, he was driving around, but you know what he said? He said, I got to be honest. I was thoroughly entertained with your segments talking about your little contest, and now I'm invested in those three teams. I'm invested in Washington, I'm invested in Carolina, and I'm invested in Vegas. So hopefully the rest of you will be along for the ride, but that's good news. We got somebody that's kind of a tertiary sports fan to be involved in the program based on our little contest here.
Yeah, and he's someone who understands culture and pop culture and entertainment. So can you please ask him if you would like Ted Lasso finally, please?
Okay, I will. I'm going to do that as soon as the program concludes.
And I'd also add that I am a little nervous about my Carolina pick, if I'm going to just be transparent about this process.
Why? Because that donk Steve Fezzik came on the program and said he hates your pick and told you how much he loved you in the process?
That didn't help, but it's more I've just hinged my fate on the Carolina Panthers, and I don't know what hope I have to deal with here.
The only thing before we jump into the quarterback battle I will say is I don't know if I'm going to win, but I know I'm not going to lose. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, Commanders, Vegas, and Carolina – again, I may not win, but I'm definitely of those three, I'm not going to be paying $1,000.
Well, what if we three-way tie?
Yeah, I haven't really thought about that.
Head-to-head tiebreakers?
Haven't really thought about it. Samich in 3, 2, 1 is already,
well,
his brain is already.
If you do the math properly, we can't three-way tie because they play them and then they play them. They don't play, but you use common opponents to decide who won.
Well, he actually is listening. Samich, can you text me over what you think we should do with
2-0.
Okay. Now, 2-0 Giants, if you're following with us, we went full game on web. Samich went first five on the Giants at plus 135.
He's always
right. A couple of things
here. It's so annoying. Whenever he does something different than me, he always ends up being right. It's really obnoxious.
Vegas is hosting Dallas coming up, big guy, on Saturday. Mm. Most of the market is showing Vegas laying 6.5. I do see a 7 in the market as well. Why? Because your boy, Antonio Pierce, came out and did the, hey, everybody, look at me. I'm Vince Lombardi. If they're healthy, they're going to play. Okay, Antonio, chill. Why not? You're young, you're new. You have somebody that you could kind of emulate. His name's Sean McVay. Instead, he goes the other way, and he's like, if they're healthy, they're going to play. So anyway, that's the reason. It's not necessarily the full reason, but open 6.5, you're seeing a couple of sevens pop up. The Raiders are going to play first half. He didn't really designate if it was just the first half, but the Raiders are going to play starters if they're healthy. Now, the quarterback situation is as such. Good news for Raiders fans, they've signed Nathan Peterman.
Oh, my God, he won't go away.
And another reason I think that that's a heavy number is the Raiders announced that they were going to name the starter this season after this Dallas game.
Yeah,
so
way to corner yourself.
Put the onus
by the way
on O'Connell, put O'Donnell or whatever, and put the onus on Minshew. So there's going to, the competition is this game.
Yeah, but way to corner yourself as your first training camp as a head coach. Be like, yeah, at the end of week two, we're locking it in. What if you still don't know? Why would you do that to yourself and put yourself in a box now? Now coming out of this, the whole team's waiting to find out what the plan is. You have two more weeks or one more week to play with. Why wouldn't you let it play out over one more game at the very least before announcing this? Look, I wanted to push back on your conversation here and say, well, you felt the same way about Dan Campbell. Dan Campbell feels way more calculated than Antonio Pierce ever.
Yeah, you actually nailed what I was thinking. Is like, why would you ever force yourself into a position that is not necessary. It's just an arbitrary game, and you don't to tell anybody anything.
I'm told we have until like September 5th to make decisions on what's going to happen in football season.
Right. And still waiting. We're going to hear from Davante Adams. So let's go to the market and understand week one, take the first snap. What are the numbers right now on O'Connell and, of course, Minshew?
Yeah, so right now, Gardner Minshew has moved to a minus $1.25 favorite, whereas Aiden O'Connell is minus 105. And I think you and I are both in the same camp. It's got to be Gardner Minshew. What are we doing here?
Oh, it has to be. Oh, it has to be. And there's a couple of reasons why I believe it has to be. We talked about this about a week and a half ago, Dustin, and said when he was plus money, bet Minshew. Why? Is this Raiders organization stable? No, it's not. Is it mercurial? Yes, it is. So if you're Antonio Pierce and essentially year to year you're coaching for your job, what are you trying to accomplish? You're trying to get wins. Minshew gives you a much better opportunity at this point to get wins. And by the way, he's outperforming. Now, I know O'Connell's got the leadership qualities and Minshew lives in a van, but apparently at practices, Minshew, no surprise, outperforming O'Connell.
Yeah, I think this organization's in a weird position because the way things went down a year ago with Josh McDaniels, the expecting to win, buying out that contract, sticking with Pierce, who I think two things can be true. I think Antonio Pierce did everything to deserve the job. He can also be an awful hire, all things considered, when you open up a coaching search to find the best possible candidate. I think it's really easy a year ago to be the opposite of Josh McDaniels and the vibes to be good. It's very hard to come in now with a whole plan to be the guy in charge of this whole operation and to get everything right. This is way more difficult. And for Antonio Pierce, he will be judged on wins and losses just like every head coach in this league. So he has to continue what he got started last year, which is playing better football and winning football games. There's no way you watch Aiden O'Connell throw sub 100 yards in an NFL game, have no ability to make plays to win you football games, and think that is your guy. Say whatever you want about Gardner Minshew being up and down in his career when things are expected of him, kind of like Ryan Fitzpatrick. He absolutely is willing to take those chances to win you games. That's why he's your decision.
In agreement, I still think right around even money, I think that's way too cheap on Gardner Minshew. I think he's going to be your starter week one for the Raiders. Our good buddy Jensen Lewis talking baseball is going to join us next here, Sharp Money. Pay Sharp Money, VSiN, Esports Betting Network, Dustin Sweetelson. I'm Patrick Maher. We're going to welcome in one of the great guys. Also, a VSiN ride or die for like 5+ years. Jensen Lewis, MLB Network Radio on Sirius XM, of course, Bally Sports with the Guardians, former Major League pitcher, 7-10 with the Guardians, at JLou50 on Twitter. We say hi to our good buddy, Jensen Lewis. Hi, Jensen. It's nice to talk to you again. And I want to start here. And we were having this fun conversation about the NL Rookie of the Year because Jackson Merrill is catching up to your buddy Paul Skeens. And most of it comes down to philosophy, right? So Jackson Merrill has been great, plus 140. Skeens is minus 180. But really what it comes down to, Jensen, is will we see Skeens the rest of the year because the Buccos have dropped out of it?
Yeah, great point. Always good to be with you, Patrick, and, of course, Dustin. Great to see also that we've got a race now in this National League Rookie of the Year contest. I know for a while, with the run, not only that Pittsburgh went on, but particularly with Skeens in those first, 10, 11 starts, you felt like, okay, you can go ahead and write this one off, and it ends up being, you know, one of those expensive coasters. If anyone else had a ticket on a Shohei Imanaga or even a Jackson Merrill. But, man, amazing to see not only what the Padres have done, but, Patrick, you're so right. The narrative-based part of this award is going to come into play. And if Pittsburgh isn't able to kind of stem the tide here a little bit, and even if they do, you wonder where Ben Cherington and his front office are from a philosophy standpoint of we got to protect not only the player, but also look at next season with a healthy Paul Skeens and a healthy Jared Jones and knowing what Mitch Keller can do for you as well. So there's a real, I think, push-pull to this. And the first part of it has to do with where Jackson Merrill is helping lead this Padres resurgence. And if San Diego gets anywhere closer to the Dodgers, I realize with them in Arizona closing the gap to within three games, But if somehow the Padres overtake the Dodgers and end up winning that division, boy, do you have a real conundrum on your hands if you're a writer and Skeens ends up pitching into September for maybe the first week or so. I think it ends up really coming down to much closer than what people think.
So, Jensen, the question then is treating Paul Skeens. And you hinted at the front office has decisions to make in Pittsburgh. It feels like the market is assuming they're going to treat him like every other rookie pitcher we've ever seen. But hasn't everything we've seen from Paul Skeens so far been a guy who's defied what we see normally from rookie pitchers? He's at 119 and a third innings combined between the minors and the majors. Do you think there's more meat on the bone there for him to still pitch, even if they're out of contention and they decide to let him go?
Yeah, it could be, Dustin. And I think the resume for itself up to this point is pretty convincing. And of course, when you look at the odds where they were just about 3 weeks ago, it makes sense. And what, he's a fourth or fifth pitcher as a rookie ever to start the Midsummer Classic in his first season. So that notwithstanding, the first 11 starts of his big league career were unlike any statistically we had seen from a guy in his first go-around in the big leagues. I think what will be compelling is he was not only talked about as a slam dunk for Rookie of the Year, but guys, remember his odds just plummeting in the NL Cy Young race, too. I mean, we're talking about him being second-best odds to Chris Sale for a while there. So I'm fascinated to see here in the next probably 10 to 14 days, because I honestly think that's probably where that breaking point ends up, not only from an innings threshold, but I think from a competitive threshold. If Pittsburgh is a week out of a playoff spot, then you know there's no reason to continue to push him on. So I think we'll have our answer here pretty soon.
Jensen Lewis, our good buddy, joining us here on Sharp Money. I've always wanted to ask a major league player what a manager means directly to the win total. And I bring that up because I'm taking a look at the West, Jensen, and the Dodgers, the Snakes, and the Padres. I mean, these are three wagons right now. But I remember when Lovello got hired by Arizona, somebody I respect, like, this guy's legit. And remember last year, great start, struggled, end up World Series. This year, bad start, struggled, keeps the locker room together. Maybe you can shed some light on Lovello, but also tell us what it means, because I've always wondered how much of a direct impact a manager can have on wins and losses.
Yeah, Patrick, first and foremost, with Torrey, I got the chance to play for him when he was our AAA manager in Cleveland for Buffalo. And I can tell you that it is no surprise to me that he's had the early success as manager of the Diamondbacks, getting them to the World Series and having the respect of the clubhouse. You think about the three teams you mentioned in the West, and of course, Doc Roberts having the resume, having gone and won a World Series as a player with Boston, and then doing it as a manager. I mean, there's no doubt that he can communicate as well as anyone and has to deal with it in such a massive market. You know, Mike Schilt, it probably came in San Diego now with an opportunity to not only exact some revenge and maybe a little, hey, I told you so in a couple of times against the Cardinals head-to-head, but maybe more so in a broader spectrum of, I know what I'm doing, and I proved it, and I just didn't get enough time to show that I can get through the adversity. And I think this year, this iteration of what we're seeing from the Padres is what people thought the last couple of years could look like. And that's not taking anything away from Bob Melvin, because he's one of the best in our game. But as far as the win total goes, and we bring it back to Torrey Lovello, you have to be able to not only have the respect of your team when things are well, but have them believe that when things aren't going well, what you say is real, and you're not just doing it because, hey, we're not playing well. I think that's a difference maker for Arizona, particularly where they are this year. And the injuries, of course, in the rotation, what they had to deal with in a position player side and still dealing with guys without Gabby Moreno and Christian Walker at this point. But I really love where Torrey is from a mindset and from just experiencing it firsthand. I'm not shocked whatsoever Arizona's in the spot that they're in. Now, they could run down the field and end up, you know, blowing everyone away and getting that one seed. But even if they kind of come back into a wild card scenario, they're still as dangerous as any team in the National League.
Jensen Lewis with us, MLB Network, Sirius XM. Let's look at tonight's slate, Jensen. Bailey Ober taking on the Rangers. He's on the road where he's a little bit worse. It's a night game where he's a little bit worse, but he does have the edge, and he's a minus 118 favorite taking on Cody Bradford. What would you do with that matchup there?
Yeah, I would say if you like Texas, you pay a little bit through the nose there for the run line at +1.5. But if you wanted to go an alternate at +1 to perhaps get the push if they lose, but still get a little bit better payout if they end up coming back and able to win it. The opener there with Bradford, no surprise, is kind of how Rocco Baldelli has stacked the top of his lineup here in the last week or so. But I think Texas is in a good little bounce back spot. Minnesota kind of smarting a little bit, you know, from unable to sweep the Royals in the last series. But I think a good spot here for Texas to try and bounce back.
When you're not working, are you watching baseball every night? Like, are you just grinding, sitting there, multiple screens? Like, is it an obsession? Like, where does Jensen Lewis sit with just the baseball, you know, over 162?
Yeah, that's probably a good way. We're the crazy people, right? We go and cover a game, you know, on the East Coast for you know, 3.5 hours, and then I come home and I turn on you know, Joe Davis and the Dodgers or whoever's playing later. Dave Sims with the Mariners on Root Sports. But yeah, it's probably the same guys that you guys do with college football too. And I'm probably in that same boat where you guys are. You know, a little Pac-12 after midnight or some of the Hawaiian kickoffs that you're just like, all right, do we need one more game? Let's do it. you know, when my Vandy boys were out playing Hawaii, thank goodness it was a little bit more of an advantageous kickoff time. But yeah, we're into it. And I got to tell you guys, this might be with the 1 year of the last five where you could potentially see, at least in the American League, all three divisions come down to the final week of the regular season. And maybe the same thing happens, at least for two of the divisions in, you know, the National League. Maybe it only come down to the National League West with what Milwaukee has done in the Central and, of course, Philly in the East. But I think we're not only set up for a pretty damn good finish in the American League in all spots, but also the National League wild card could just be a bonanza there in the final weekend.
Yeah, don't let Jensen fool you. He knows the market on every single sport. Jensen Lewis, MLB Network Radio on SiriusXM, Bally Sports, of course, at JLou50 on Twitter. Jensen, you're the best. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks for the time.
You got it, boys. Talk soon.
Okay, thank you very much. He's been a ride or die for a long time. He's just like one of the nice freaking guys around.
And you know, I know he played at Vandy, but it's another thing to sit there and watch Vandy football. I'm sorry. You really, that is love. That is something in your soul. That is a passion because God knows Vandy football has not been good to him.
I feel good. Thank you for asking. I am just filling up on this water.
Satiating.
Didn't we get a bunch of great emails telling me how I'm doing the right thing by fasting?
So where is it? Sir Bear writes in. That is his name, so take it for what it's worth. Fasting's one of the best things you can do for your body and health. You should work out during it as your GH is spiked as well. Also might want to look into best, safest way to break a fast.
Thank you, because you were telling me that I should go, you know, hang out with Vinny Bonaboo and go get a carbohydrate filled dinner. But I'm going to come out of this thing clean.
All you can
I may eat- never come out of it because no. I still can't taste.
All you can eat buffet. That's how I break this thing up.
All right. We're going to come back. 3-point stand. Some NFL news you need to hear. Theme today, Simp City and Walt Disney, as we welcome you back here on Sharp Money. It's VSiN, the Esports Betting Network. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. Dustin Sweetelson hanging out at the D, downtown Las Vegas. We are monitoring early day baseball here. The A's lead the Metsies, not great, 7-6 in Queens. The Dodgers fall behind to the Brewers, 6-4, end of 8. And we need it top of 4. Looks like they did get an out, just runners first and second. So the Giants lead the Braves 2-0, top of 4, but the Braves threatening with runners on first and second and one out, big guy.
Yeah, a big strikeout, Logan Webb against Marcelo Ozuna, who, by the way, has a chance. He's got a little bit to catch Shohei Ohtani, but in the Triple Crown conversation at this point on August 15th, strikes him out, 2 on, 1 out, Matt Olson at the dish now. We need Logan Webb to work out of this jam.
Yes, we do. I agree. Coming up, Ed Kratz, Sports Illustrated. He covers the Eagles at the top of the hour. Been covering them since 96. So he on top of it. The Eagles playing tonight in New England. We'll get a feel from Ed And then we've got our buddy Aaron Halterman for a couple of segments. Looking forward to talking to 110, the Plus Money Prince, coming up in just a bit. Pardon me, just taking a look at Real Betis Girona. Yay, got slowed down. Got a goal in the ninth minute. We're 55 minutes in, still 1-0. Would like to add a couple, if you know what I'm saying, big guy. All right, so we were having a conversation. Let's get to three-point stance. We were having a conversation a little earlier about Vegas. It's really the quarterback competition that is priced in the market where you can have some fun with it. Essentially, even up and down with O'Connell and Minshew, yeah? That's so basically what it is?
Yeah. Yeah, so let's get into that.
Maybe 105 one way or the other.
125 Gardner Minshew, 105 the other way on Aiden O'Connell. And let's begin three-point stance.
The top stories in football.
We want some more! We want some more! We want some more!
Every single day.
Ice up, son! Ice up!
This is three-point stance.
Hey, I'm just here so I don't get fined.
On Sharp Money.
Go play intramurals, brother.
Boom. 3-point stance, your NFL. We get it out?
No, I was just saying boom because we finally played that opening.
Oh, okay.
It's been made for like six months. It's the first time I've seen it.
So 2-time Pro Bowler, we mentioned Judon's joining the Atlanta Falcons with the trade. We'll see if they can extend him. But also Justin Simmons is also joining the Atlanta Falcons, big guy.
This came down in the last hour. Justin Simmons, who was a really good back-end piece for the Denver Broncos defense at safety the last few seasons, he has now signed a free agent contract with the Atlanta Falcons. He'll pair with Jesse Bates in addition to Matt Judon. And all of a sudden, Raheem Morris has an interesting defense brewing down there in the ATL. That news coming from Jordan Schultz. And I don't know if you remember this, but you interviewed a young Justin Simmons on the wrap on Mad Dog Sports Radio when he was like a rookie.
I don't remember that. Was he any good?
He was actually really good. He was a really sweet kid. Out of Boston College, third-round pick in 2016, and four-time All-Pro, two-time Pro Bowler, co-leader in interceptions in 22. I think it's a really nice addition for a team. Look, if your team's going to claim they're all in and sign Kirk Cousins, right, you add a franchise quarterback, I want to see you go all in all aspects. Now, Michael Penix kind of negates some of that draft pick, but these other moves, Judon and Simmons coming in, that implies that they are indeed all in on this year.
Yeah, I don't remember. I don't have a file on the chat. I'm sure it was a tremendous conversation with Simmons. Even better, Logan Webb just got a double play, got out of the inning.
Now
we're going to the middle of the fourth. The Giants up 2-0 over the Braves.
I'll be honest, since I went full game and Samich suggested laying a half run in the first five, there was a part of me that did want the Braves to tie it up at 2 there and then the first five lose and the Giants win. But the bigger part of me wanted us all to win because I'm a team player, and that ended up prevailing in the play.
Well, there's plenty of parts there. And that one part that was fading Samich is the haterade. So be easy. Hey, let's go quickly back to the Vegas conversation because I want to hear from Devontae Adams.
Yeah, so Devontae Adams, a big proponent of Aiden O'Connell a year ago. Obviously, Gardner Minshew wasn't on the team. I tried watching that wide receiver show on Netflix, Patrick. I got like three episodes in and I couldn't do it anymore. I thought it was horrible.
You couldn't pay me. I couldn't even name a price.
It just
to get me to sit down.
Completely uninterested by 99% of what was going on in it. Learned nothing. If you watch that, you've got to find better use of your time. And that's coming from someone who is recruiting fake people in a college football video game right now. So Devontae Adams has firsthand experience watching this quarterback battle play out. And here's what he had to say about Minshew and O'Connell going head to head.
They both balled out. They both did their thing. And, you know, Gardner came in and picked up right where Aiden left off. And they both played their game, too. You can see, you know, we got two quarterbacks that are not necessarily the same. And when you got a guy that like Aiden, who, you know, he's an extremely accurate, you know, thrower and, you know, a little bit more traditional. And he's playing his game and he goes out there and stays within himself and, you know, moving in the pocket and trusting the O-line. And obviously the O-line doing a good job keeping both of those guys clean as much as possible. You know, I've seen a lot of good. So hopefully we keep doing that. And it's gonna make it hard on AP to figure out. But I'm praying for nothing but success for both of them.
That's a great football player right there in Devontae Adams and a very diplomatic man. As he said, both are lit.
But doesn't this remind you of another Hall of Fame receiver going to the Raiders and not being able to get the numbers that he deserves in his prime? This feels very similar to Randy Moss to me. In their prime, go to the Raiders, quarterback issues. They put up great numbers because they are who they are, but you have to imagine the numbers would be crazier if they had someone legit throwing the football. Aiden O'Connell threw under 100 yards in two games last year. At Chicago, he threw for 75 yards second to last week of the season. Like, there's nothing about Aiden O'Connell that says he's going to win me football games in 2024.
There you go. What else is going on? Three-point stance around the NFL, big
guy. Well, Justin Jefferson is hoping that his quarterback he's going to have for the whole year and Sam Darnold could help him get back to the numbers he's used to putting up for the Minnesota Vikings. J.J. McCarthy is out for a long period, likely the entire season with that meniscus injury. His head coach, Kevin O'Connell, met with the media yesterday and said, "Don't worry, guys. I believe in Sam Darnold."
I think it's been a process at which, as his ownership of the offense has really gotten to a really good place already, I think he's been able to, from an X's and O's standpoint, lead, which we need our quarterback to do. But at the same time, I think it's just his comfort in how we've built the atmosphere for all of our quarterbacks, whether it's Sam or JJ. I think it's allowed those guys to have a lot of runway, a lot of ability to just match their work ethic and their daily grind that puts them in a platform that their teammates see it. And then ultimately just going out and doing their jobs and you stack enough of that together, it starts and looks and sounds like leadership.
Okay, Kevin O'Connell, positive message again. Don't let anybody tell you differently. They would drive J.J. McCarthy back to Ann Arbor and drop his ass off and do it over in the draft if they could.
No.
What happened?
No, I'm agreeing with you. This is a disaster for them. They desperately for hope, right? Because hope is what they're dealing with. When you let Kirk Cousins walk, you have to have something to look forward to, and it's the hope that J.J. McCarthy would bring. The fact that he is not going to play at all in his rookie year kind of brings some of that hope back crashing down to earth. That's all.
Yeah, the audaciousness of hope. By the way, Kevin O'Connell looks good in purple. Tough to pull off. I feel like you might look good in purple.
Very grimacy. Our high school colors, we were the Crusaders. We were purple and silver. It was a good look for your boy. I'll bring out my varsity Letterman jacket one day. No big deal.
The regal color, the color of the Roman Empire when the Roman, you know, the...
It was?
The czar would wear, or whatever he's called. I watched a documentary last night on Caligula. You know, he followed Tiberius as the Roman emperor. That guy was freaky.
Purple. I don't know why I didn't know. Is that what the movie The Color Purple is about?
No.
Oh.
It's about Oprah.
Oh, Oprah's in it? Guess it's not the Roman Empire. Yeah. She has
and Prince.
I'd rather have Oprah's empire than the Roman Empire.
Hey, that was a good tag. What else?
Matt Milano. This is a big injury for the Buffalo Bills. This happened earlier today. Suffered a torn bicep. He's out indefinitely. And remember, a year ago, the Bills were without Milano for the season. They lost him during the year. He is an awesome piece getting to the quarterback as a linebacker in that defense that had a lot of turnover this offseason. So that's a big loss for Buffalo.
A huge loss. I think the bigger news would be, let me know when Matt Milano is going to play football.
Yeah, that's a fair point. That is a fair point, an issue there for them. Some other quick notes around the preseason. Marcus Mariota for Washington won't play in week two with a groin. Malik Willis will start for Tennessee versus Seattle.
Okay, thank you, big guy. Three-point stance. You've got preseason week two kicking off tonight. New England hosting the Eagles. Ed Kratz covers the Eagles for Sports Illustrated. He joins us next.